Me, you're sinless? No, that being born again, our record in heaven is clean.
I know what goes through my head.
It's a clean slate. We thank you for that.
Man, I want the thoughts
but
that go through my
here don't
head
understand
put on the screen
that.
And show everybody.
And help us to clean
you know,
our lives.
Even while I'm praying or trying
they
to pray
can't understand
or
that.
Trying to preach.
Help
I
us
mean,
to
stuff
be
that
a good
goes through
testimony.
A person's head is just amazing.
And when we box
okay,
it
and of
up,
course, in the day and age we're living, all this stuff is floating through the air. You
and
know, the
I
radio, the CBs,
the
Spirit of God would give us, the television,
grace,
all this stuff is going
live
through the air.
And in Jesus name,
if you got the right
okay, Romans 6, 7,
you pick
and
8
up,
is sometimes the portion that Paul wrote about
would throw this in our head
cleaning
just
up
to
our
keep
life.
Pestering us.
And so
okay,
Paul
where
is being
the
honest
again,
in Romans
7, account in heaven.
14. He's being honest about himself. Okay, now as he's pinning this, God says, this is a holy man. But he says about himself in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. Okay, so he's the law in the Old Testament. Okay, in particular, the moral law. And then he said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He didn't say I was carnal. He said I am carnal. As he's writing this down, or he's saying it to someone who's writing it down for him, he's being honest. He's being honest about himself. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. Okay, that which I do, I allow. Parents, do we know about that one, huh? That's what I do. We would spank our kids for doing it, right? And then when they remind us about it, then we spank them again. What thought? They're just little replicas of us. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Okay, so that he's just being honest. And that's the struggle we all have. You know, a lot of people, when they see a pastor, a reverend, you know, clergy, they think, oh, you know, he stinks to high heaven just like you do. And there was a poll taken at a Southern Baptist convention, and it was asked, the ones there, how many of the men view pornography regularly, and 70% admitted it. What about the ones that didn't? That's the one standing behind the pulpit. Okay, and so Paul is just being honest. Now, when you read his testimony of 2 Corinthians about the struggles he goes through, you got to say, wow, what a kind of a man is that? An amazing individual. Verse 16, he says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Okay, so law. God is good. God is right. So he's consenting. God is right. I am wrong. So when you find something in the Bible that you think is a contradiction, mark it down. God is right and you are wrong. Okay, and if you ask God, he'll explain it to you. I really like how Habakkuk put it when Habakkuk threw a bunch of questions at God because he saw the enemies coming in. And he's throwing all these questions at God, you know, basically telling God, this is what I see. Why aren't you doing something? And then he says, I'll wait for you to reprove me. Because I know you're right. Okay, and because the Lord sees the huge picture. We're just seeing a little bit of it. You know, and you know, anybody that's kind of watching the environment, if you believe in Q and Anon, there's two different things. If you believe in that stuff, what's been frustrating is people put a time period, a date on stuff. When something doesn't come to pass, then they get discouraged. We don't see the big picture. It is a worldwide, this is a worldwide event. Worldwide, going mainly after human trafficking and pedophiles, and of course the central banking system. But this is a big, big event. Now, what God is going to allow to happen, I don't know. I've not a clue. That's up to God what he's going to do. But things are definitely going on. And the media is not saying a word about it. Okay, so we have to recognize there are a lot of times people see the big picture where we don't. God has the ultimate big picture, obviously. So in verse 16, he says, I consent unto the law that it is good. The Bible is good. God is good. The laws are right. Okay, when I violate these laws, the law's right, I am wrong. Verse 17, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's in my nature. Okay, and he says, for I know that in me, and then he shows which part, that is in my flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Okay, so I find not. It's not works. It's a matter of the Spirit working through us. So verse 18, now again, he is saying, for I know that in me, as he's writing this, the Lord is saying, this is a holy man. But he's being honest about himself in my flesh. You know, sometimes Christians and especially pastors, they try to maintain a stigma, you know, and you know, I can remember hearing this stuff taught, you know, in school, you know, you got to sit a certain way, you got to walk a certain way, you got to have a mystique in your office and all this stuff. That's somebody that's putting on a show. That's what that is. And sure, there's a respect, but that comes with age often. Okay, Dad and I went up to Valpo, and there's a fella graduated from the same place I did, and he tried to maintain that mystique, but okay, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps. You know, this has got 5 steps. So I don't really like this platform. It's too high. He had 2 steps. And so it was a very, very small building. I mean, this is how much it was in there. It had a platform, 2 steps, and there's the door. He's just going to walk in. And I said to Dad, watch out, here comes the show. Watch the show. Boom, walks open the door, sits on his seat right there, you know, and I'm like, oh, cut it out. And the funny thing is he stayed on the platform when Sam Gipp was preaching. And Sam, you know, he's a Bible believer. He'll just kind of be crude at stuff at times. And this guy he's never heard this before. He's on a platform making faces. And I'm kind of getting a chuckle out of his faces. It's like, get off the platform, get down here, look the guy in the face, and you might get a blessing out of it. But people have the mystique they have to have. Okay? Uh-huh. Yeah.
From church is that they see the pastor, the preacher up there who is putting on a show and looking and acting holier than thou.
Yeah.
And people out there look at that and say, this is all fake. That's what atheists, they think it's just all show, all fake.
And it's true.
So that they're just a bunch of liars is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Was Sam Gipp here the week before?
Yeah. I think so.
Because I came up to see him at your church, and his schedule said Prince Solaire. So we went there to Prince Solaire, and we couldn't find out. You know, so
he was here.
So we went to Valpo the next week, and we got there an hour early because of the time. So yeah. The parking lot was empty, and I thought, oh, boy, here we go again, you know. But we finally, so I think we said on Monday night.
Okay. I don't remember Dad night. I think, were you there that night too? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a small building. He's a good man, but it's just, this is what we were taught. And it's like, come on. You know, you don't have to do things the way they do it. And besides, when you're talking big churches, you ever feel like when they get a big church, the preacher's polished? You know, I don't know. Teach his own. That's just not for me. Okay, verse 19. So for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. And notice how Paul doesn't tame it down. Good and evil. Okay, man always tries to tame it down to make it not sound so bad. So Paul's not taming it down. Verse 20 says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, so second time he said that. I find then a law that. Okay, so this is a law. The exception proves the rule. It is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do good, when I'm witnessing on a street corner, holding a scripture sign, evil is present with me. It's right in me at the same time. Where it can go back and forth just that quick in split seconds. Okay? And this is just being honest how life is. So on a street corner, and people can get pretty raunchy depending on where you're at. You know, if you go down to Bourbon Street, New Orleans, I wouldn't suggest that, but some guys go to these gay parades and street preach. Not me. Count me out on that stuff. Because I don't want to fill my mind with that garbage. Okay? Going down to Beale Street, it's pretty raunchy. There's some immodesty, but it's more drunkenness that's going on. Okay, but it's, a person can kind of keep their eyes up in the air or whatnot, trying to think about it. But whatever we're doing right, it says here, when you do good, evil is present with me. That's just being honest about things. So then he says this, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So the inward man, the outward man. When we delight in the law of God, we're feeding our inner man, and that gives our inner man strength, and then more and more time, we get more strength. Verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he says, O wretched man that I am. And that's, again, that's just being honest. It's about himself. Okay, and he could easily have said, oh, wretched man that I was, because of the persecution that he caused, but he is saying it in the present tense. And this is a struggle we all have. This is just being honest with ourselves, and when we recognize our weaknesses and our wretchedness and our wickedness, it would help us to long for heaven more, long for the glorified body. It's going to be nice when you get to heaven and everything you think is right, everything you do is right, the environment is right, and everything is pure and holy. It's going to be a wonderful environment. Okay, and if people think we're going to be on a cloud playing a harp, I'll take it. I'll take it over the alternative. Okay, and so Paul is just being, oh, wretched man that I am, and then who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, I know the answer to that is the Lord Jesus. Okay, he does say in 24, it's against the law of my mind. Let's try 2 Corinthians 10. The law of my mind. Okay, words have wings, which are spirits that carry the words. Okay, so when we utter a word, one of three spirits accompanies that word. Okay, the word, the sentence, or whatnot. Okay, it could be my spirit. It could be an unclean spirit. It can be the Spirit of God. So the spirits are the wings to our words that go out. Okay, when we have the spoken word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when our words go out, they can bring death or they can bring life. And a person can utter a statement, and if you really pay attention to people's words, a statement, okay, this portion of the statement might be right, but this portion might be slightly wrong, and then this portion may be totally wrong. If you, when you read through the book of Job, and you read the conversation back and forth between those men, if you watch the wording real close, a guy might say something truthful in the first part of the comma, and then the second part will be false. You say, does the Bible contain lies? Exactly, it does. They're inspired. God writes down the lies as they were spoken. Did not Satan misquote the scriptures? Yeah, he did. So God inspired the record of Satan lying. And so when you follow the arguments back and forth between Job and his buddy, this is basically what happens when people get in a heated discussion, is they'll hear the first sentence, they won't hear anything else, and then in their mind, they're jockeying for they're going to say at, with that first sentence. And then when it's their turn in the heated discussion, they're going to make their say, and the other party's going to hear the first sentence, and then they're going to ignore everything else, and then they're going to start getting in position for their turn. And that's how it works. And that's the reason why people get all emotional. Now, we should be passionate about what we believe. I am very passionate what I believe. But I don't get angry at people if they don't accept what I believe. Okay? I don't get angry if they disagree with me. Okay, it's just more of a challenge. It's like a guy who's a shoe salesman and he went to a tribe in Africa and one guy went and left and came back. He said, I can't sell anything there. Nobody wears shoes. And another guy went there and said, wow, look at all the customers I have, potential customers. And so truth stands alone. We don't have to prop it up. We don't have to defend it. We don't have to get all emotional and mad about it. You know why people get angry because of religion and politics? It's because their beliefs are based on emotion. That's why it's based on emotion. If it's based on logic, who cares? I like the one statement, if truth makes you uncomfortable, don't get mad at truth. Get mad at the lie that made you comfortable. And that's something to think about. Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and so as far as this goes, it can be instantaneous. Good, evil, boom, right? Just like that. And a person has to be on their guard. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So this stuff is going on in our mind. And so we need to continually be vigilant, be on guard, and recognize, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. Okay, and the thing is God has mercy. So who's going to deliver us from this body of death? Verse 24. Verse 25, the answer, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And thank God for that. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So that's our struggles back and forth, the flesh and the spirit. And then in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, the new Bibles stop right there. They don't have the rest. Okay, why do they stop? And when they stop, it makes that statement a little bit questionable. Okay, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No eternal condemnation. Okay, that's true, right? But this, in this context, is talking about temporal condemnation here on earth. Because you know that is after the comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The implications are, is the believer who walks after the flesh, there is condemnation. The one who walks after the spirit, there is not condemnation. In the temporal world, and that's where he's dealing with, is the temporal world. Example, okay, Galatians 6:7, universal truth. There are some truths in the Bible that are universal. There are some that are specific. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, so that has nothing to do with salvation. If a saved man does the natural things, the same natural ingredients that a lost man does, he is going to reap very similar to what the lost man reaps. If a saved man, a lost man, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a whatever, all plant corn in the ground, they're going to reap corn. It's got nothing to do with salvation. If a born-again believer eats the same diet the world encourages, they're going to get the same diseases that the world gets. Why? Because you reap what you sow. If you put garbage in your body, okay, if you put garbage in your body, don't expect it to be healthy. In 35, you start really picking it up. On 30, you start really noticing it. You're young, you can get away with your, you know, chips and ho-hos. And I don't even know, are ho-hos still invented? Okay, are they? Okay. I got meddling. Did I get meddling there? I used to like ho-hos. Still do, but I don't eat them. Okay, and so if we keep eating all that stuff, then it's going to hurt us. Okay, if somebody takes your car to a mechanic and said, this thing's not running right. He said, and then he looked at the gas. You got water in the gas tank. Oh, really? Yeah, I put water in there. Why would you do that? Well, hydrogen burns, so I thought hydrogen and oxygen in the water. It's liquid. Gas is liquid. It was cheaper, so I thought that would work. The car needs the right kind of fuel. Now, if you're really mechanically inclined, if you do put an energy in the water and split the hydrogen from the oxygen, you can get better fuel mileage. And I've got the whole process in a box, but I've never figured out how to work it. Okay, and burn the hydrogen, and what comes out the exhaust is oxygen. Okay, maybe Brother John, you know this stuff. Maybe you build a motorcycle like that. So, yes. Well, there used to be, I remember, 30, 40 years ago, guys would have carburetors to get 200 miles a gallon. And the oil companies would buy them up or else put them 6 feet down. And that wasn't a Flintstone car where you had to kind of. But so, you know, and we look at this person and we say, okay, you got to put the right kind of fuel in your car to make it run right. Okay, our body has to have the right kind of fuel. Now, the Bible does help us a lot with that. It's filtered through there, like a lot of things are throughout the Bible. But people don't pick up on that. Okay, I would dare say if a preacher's behind this pulpit and you can see him from both sides of the pulpit, he's a bad testimony. Okay, and aren't we supposed to be disciplined? And the toughest thing is our flesh. If you want to really check your flesh out, play sports. Sports reveals the weakness of your flesh better than anything. And so that's true. And also what reveals the weakness or the appetites of our flesh is in the checkout line, all those items, very expensive items right there, or at the convenience stores. All that stuff in the convenience stores, man, that's the highest priced stuff you're going to find. Okay, and so that shows our appetites, our fleshly appetites. So we reap what we sow. So in verse 1, there is a temporary condemnation, a earthly condemnation to the believer who walks after the flesh. If the believer is going to keep drinking, his liver's going to go bad, just like a lost man. Okay, he's going to reap what he sows. Now, he's going to go to heaven because his soul is saved. Okay, but he's still going to reap what he sows, and he's going to forfeit a lot of things for that. So in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, if you stop there, that's true eternally. But when we keep reading, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's in the temporal world, in the natural world. And then he has our contrast. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, not set me free. It's made me. You become an embodiment of freedom. So we're set free or made free from the law of sin and death. Even though sin's right there, even though sin is in my flesh, even though sin walks around with me everywhere. In the ancient Roman days, the one way Roman soldiers would punish the enemy is that they would take a military leader, and they'd take a dead soldier on the battlefield and tie that soldier to the back of this military leader, tie him as tight as they could, and then take him out on the battlefield and push him down. So he's got his hands tied, he's got this body tied to him, and he's out in the battlefield, and he's got to get up. Now, if he don't get up quick, what's going to happen to the straps as the body starts swelling? Many of them died right on the spot because they couldn't get up. And that's like a believer where we're carrying around this dead body, this corpse, okay? And that's what holds us back is the flesh, okay? But the Lord gives us the power, the Spirit, the power to get up and march on. So in verse 2, we've been made free. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Okay, so you can have the laws, you can have the rules, you can have the standards, and that builds a fence around somebody. But that doesn't make them or cause them to obey the rules. Then he says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemn sin in the flesh. So the Lord Jesus is showing that it can be done, but it's got to be done through him. Then verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he repeats that phrase up there in verse 1. So we can live a righteous life, by the power of the Spirit. Now, again, depending upon people's upbringing, depending how they were raised, young people nowadays, they have a hard time, you know, depending on how they're raised. Many of them, you know, were split homes or not told how to go to school, not doing this, not doing that. They can't even show up to work. I mean, and it's nowadays, it's the turnover rate amazing in this whatever Z generation. I don't know what generation we're at. I mean, any kid, any 12-year-old and up and in a teenage area can go to work, do what he's told, keep his mouth shut. He'll move up in a company faster than anybody without the $100,000 debt of a college. Just move right up. Why? Because you know how to work. Okay, and that's what I tell you. I hear so many small business owners, they cannot get the help. They can't get workers. It's a little place down in Remington. It's like a, Sam, you worked there at that car place, part place, or I thought you worked there. No, there was a car park. Yeah, when Josh worked there. They went through like 1,100 people in 1 year. This is Remington. Does Remington have 1,100 people in the town? 1,100 people in that 1 year. It's just phenomenal. You know, and that's this generation coming up. It's just, they don't know anything. Thank God for homeschoolers. Thanks God for Bible-believing families, parents that raise children know how to work, where work is not a four-letter dirty word. Work is a benefit. That's so funny. Here, Ash came in this morning on Amtrak, and 3 hours late, Amtrak. You know how the Amtrak works. And little Westy, so he's just a little over 1 year old, and we got that water thing, and he pushed it into the sink and splashed everything out. So little one, well, you know, one year and 4 months old, and Ash says, "Let's go get a towel and let's clean it up." So there he is. He's cleaning it up. I was surprised he didn't break the glass. But he's cleaning it up. He's trying to do his part. Kids working right beside him. This is one thing the Pearls really expound upon. And they really have a lot of good books on raising children. And so in verse 4, you know, this righteousness, when it's ingrained in an individual from day one, they think that's what life's about. And that is what life's about. Where they're taught to work right beside mom and dad. I don't know how many times I heard my dad praying at the meal, "Lord, I'm so thankful we get to work together." And as a kid, you know, yeah. Oh, it is a blessing to work together. You know, I had the greatest boss you could work for, my dad. And it was a great blessing. Okay, and so it, as far as what's happening in the cities, or now this is even changing, the young ladies are working, but the boys are sitting out in the street doing nothing. And that's why the girls now got more incentive than the guys do. And the guys are running around, Black Lives Matter. You know, without a brain in their head. So in verse 4, this righteousness, you know, as a parent, we want to instill that in our children. Character, duty, work, integrity. Think ahead. Okay, think about things ahead, what you need. And so this is what the Lord would want us to do. Okay, we'll stop there. Verse 4, we'll come back to that. Any questions or comments?